Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, happy Wednesday, and welcome to Divine Connections. This is Sue Fields Delamonte, and I'm joined tonight by Jody Higgins. Lynn Bleasdale, unfortunately, could not be with us tonight, but she's listening in. Hi, Lynn, we love you.
Hi, Lynn.
How are you doing tonight,
love
Jody?
You. I am so good. I'm in a great mood tonight. I'm getting into the Christmas spirit.
Fantastic. I am going to be all alone, just me and the fur babies this Christmas, so.
Are you now?
We are just.
Sometimes that can be just as pleasant.
Absolutely. We're just going to chill and watch a Christmas story on TV and do whatever we want to do.
I think that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm going to a friend's house this year. I can't be with my family. They live a good 4.5 hours late. Away, and I never know what the roads will be like, so I prefer not to drive. So I'm going to spend time with my friend family, and I have lots of little events planned. I have a party Friday night, and I'm spending some time with another friend on Sunday, which I'm really looking forward to. And on Christmas morning, I'm going with a friend for breakfast, and we're going to exchange gifts, and then going somewhere else for dinner and evening. So, you know, I feel very loved. I have a wonderful family, but, you know, sometimes you can't be with family, and that's a little sad, but it's wonderful.
I know what you mean. My family is 4.5 hours away also, and
okay,
not knowing what the weather's going to be like, you can't take a chance of getting stuck. Oh.
That's right. We're having an accident.
Maybe. I'm sorry?
We're having an accident. You don't want to have a car accident or anything.
Absolutely
not. When it
starts
to get cold and icky. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, talking about Christmas, that leads right into our topic for tonight with the Christmas. Boy, I can't talk. Rented lips. Christmas season. It can be such an extremely stressful time, full of loneliness, depression, anxiety, and how do you stay centered through all this? The rush with the family and the friends and the celebrations and just all the added stress. So what's your take on that, Jody? How do you stay centered and focused and deal with the stress that comes up?
Oh, gosh. The one thing I try to do is the most important thing. Gift giving is a big deal. Everyone loves to give gifts. And it's even nice to receive them. So we can address that too. But the one thing I try to do is make sure that I have a budget, and I know what that budget is, and I stick to it. And sometimes the budget is less, and when it is, I make gifts. And when the budget is a little bit more, I don't make gifts. Sometimes I do make gifts anyway. I like to make, I'm in the process of learning how to make different kinds of bath salts and body scrubs, and it's all with organic, good-smelling stuff and essential oils. So it's fun for me, and I feel like I'm putting a lot of love into what I do. And then anything that I make, I put good energy into it, and I bless it and pray over it and play harmonious, beautiful, loving music to it. And then when I give it away, my intention is to bring peace to the people who use it in calmness and love and joy. But staying in my budget is one thing. And the other thing I like to do is I have a schedule for things that I try to do ahead of time. Like if I do Christmas cards, which I've been a slacker the last few years, you know, I try to plan to get them done ahead of time. So I'm not worrying about it last minute, you know, but I have learned that it's important to, if something's not important enough where it's not that big of a deal and it can wait a week, I let it go and I don't worry about it. Sometimes it's better to do things a little smaller. You know, I'm having a party and it was too much for me to think about, you know, cooking dinner, but it wasn't too much to think about having everybody just bring a dish to share, you know, snacky stuff, not food, but snacks. And bringing your own drink. And that is, you know, it's, you know, I always want to be the person who has the beautiful spread and the house feels warm. And when you come in, you feel welcome. And I have 17 things to feed you. But if I can't do it, I'll take the friendship and love any day. I want you here. I want to be with you. And so learning to let the things go, you know, if you can't get over and get your nails done, so what? It's that kind of a thing where you just have to know what's important to let go and what's not. And keeping your sense of balance in what you will and won't do.
Yep.
And not compromising. You know?
You know, we all get so anxious and so stressed and, oh, it's, I have to buy for this one, I have to do for that one, I have to go here, I have to go here. No, you don't. It would be so much easier on all of us if, I don't know, I'm a big believer in old-fashioned values. The holidays, to me, it's more important about being with people you love than it is trying to see who can outdo everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't care if you're going to spend $500 on somebody and I only spend $20 on them, that's not the point. You know, it should be all love and compassion and stop stressing over the little stuff. And when we do get stressed, take a step back and, you know, ask yourself, is it really worth it? And make sure, especially during this time, that we take time for ourselves. We need the downtime.
Yeah,
we need the quiet time. And for those of us that are going to be alone, that can be very, you know, lonely, stressful, bring on anxiety and depression and panic attacks. And instead of concentrating, like me, instead of concentrating on being alone with no family around me, I just keep thinking about all the positive things in my life. I might not have my kids and my grandbabies around me, but I have my fur babies. I have a warm home. I have enough food. I have a comfortable bed. I have wonderful friends and family. And we just need to stop and take a deep breath and think about all the good things around us and how we are never truly alone, because we've always got God and the angels and our spirit team around us. And if we call on
them,
we can feel them for sure around us.
Well, and one of the biggest things that you hit on is, you know, you talked about the people we love being here. And, you know, it always seems November and December is a time when so many people choose to leave. And by that, I mean animals and people. And so many people and so many animals have crossed over in the last 6 weeks. And that is heartbreaking. And if that isn't enough to make you think that you need to wrap your arms around the people you love a little bit closer, then I don't know what is. Because that is one of the most heartbreaking things, to lose the people you love during the holidays.
Yes.
And it's not like I know one or two. I think I know at least six. And it's a heartbreaking thing.
It really is.
So paying attention to the little things and letting the stuff that doesn't matter go. And I think it's a good time, too. If you have someone who you're a bit on the outs with and you need to make amends, it's a good time to reach out and let people know, hey, things might not be perfect, but I love you.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a couple callers waiting. You want to start taking some calls?
I absolutely do.
All righty. Let's see. Who's our first caller? Area code 586. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
I guess that's me. I was waiting to see if someone else was going to grab it. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Jody. It's Diane. How are you?
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
How can we help you tonight?
Tonight I was wondering if I possibly could get any connection with my bestie, Valerie, who passed this past April. If she has any messages for me or any advice, because I know she knows I'm still screwing up in dating field. She was always my guide.
Okay. Jody, are you picking up anything for Diane?
I'm just sort of tuning into it a little bit. Diane, was Valerie's favorite color purple?
I think purple was one of her favorite colors.
Okay. And so I was immediately seeing purple. Did the two of you have one of those friend necklaces? I'm seeing one of those, you know, like one person gets half of the heart and then the other person gets half. Did you have something like that or matching bracelets or something? Okay. And she is saying, go ahead.
Help me, Val. I just said, help me, Val. I'm getting so old. I think we did have something like that years ago.
Well, and she's kind of, she's saying something to me of the sort of, I don't have to be physically there for us to still be, really, she says, sisters, not friends. And she says,
we're sisters.
She's talking about you needing to let go of things you can't control. And I feel like this has to do with the family that she left here on Earth. She also says she's very proud of you, that the things you have done for her family have been very kind and that you went out of your way to be with them. And she's very appreciative of that. But she says you do need to let go of the things that you can't control. And she wants me to remind you that the things that you have seen that you've not really liked or approved of, and I'm specifically talking about her immediate family, husband and children, she says you need to allow, and what she's saying is allow him to grow and go on his own path because he needs the lessons and not be offended because she says she wants him to grow and be happy. She also says to me, don't understand some of the pain he's been going through, and I'm not sure exactly what she means, but it has to do with losing her, but some other things in his life. She also says for me to say to you that you're not making mistakes, you're learning, and that's really, if you weren't learning, then she would call them mistakes. But that's not what it is. And she also says, you were always way too hard on yourself with everything. She's showing me slumber parties and jumping on beds and being in nightgowns with pillows and beating each other up with pillows. And she's giving me this feeling of you were the most fun person she ever spent time with. And she says, we really never lost touch. You know how some friends will go for a long time and not talk? She says, the two of you were always, it wasn't like, we reconnected after 5 years. Like some people. She says, there was never a break. Was Christmas her favorite time of year?
Mm-hmm. Yep, she loves
so she's giving me this, she's showing me this thing about Christmas being her favorite time of year.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny. She's, did she ever talk to you about Jesus?
We've had conversations. I mean, we're sporadic.
Well, she's just sort of saying to me, it's kind of funny. She's saying Jesus is the bomb diggity. And she says it like Jesus is the bomb. Like, you know, like he is so awesome. So I get this feeling of her having met him. And she says, when I went to heaven, I was welcomed with open arms. And
oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I see it.
Yeah, and she just says it was a wonderful place to be. Now, she's telling me there was someone very important to her who helped her cross and helped her go to the other side. And I feel like it was a woman. Had her grandmother passed somewhat recently?
Mm-hmm.
Was it within the last year?
I wonder if it was Dave's grandma, Gigi.
It could be, but she's just telling me it was an older woman and it's a grandmother figure.
I think it was Gigi.
She's this person who helped her cross was very playful. Is that his grandmother?
That was her husband's grandmother. She was a riot. She was fun. But I don't even talk to Dave and her son, so I don't know where that would be in regards to.
I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It must just be that there must be something that you're not happy about with him. And it's okay. It doesn't matter. And I get the feeling of if you don't get it now, you will later. But it's like, you know, he's doing the best he can.
Yeah. So when you had said something,
she said you worry about things with too much.
Her family? Because I just finally called her family after 2 months. I haven't talked to them in about 2 months.
She just makes me feel like you worry about her family, her husband and child. So you must think about them and pray for them a lot, but she says you worry about them too much. They're okay. Though she says, thank you for doing that and watching over them in the way that you do.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I have a little horse in my, or a little frog in my throat.
Do you have anything about Ray? Rayleigh? Ray or Rayleigh or Mike?
I don't know who that is.
Enough. She knows Ray. Ray from school.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not getting anything about them.
That's fine.
Sue, do you have anything else for her with this?
I do have a little bit, actually. Hi, Diane. I was getting the image of a penguin. So I looked that up for you, and this is what the meaning of the penguin is. You're much more powerful and durable than you think you are. You have everything you need inside you and in front of you to have a good life, so always keep that in mind. You'll soon be able to experience lucid dreaming where you become fully aware while dreaming and can change the details of the dream. This is an excellent time to explore altered body states of consciousness, especially out-of-body experiences such as astral travel. Whenever you feel like you're suffering through or simply enduring something, be as loving and compassionate with yourself and others as you can be through the remainder of the cycle. You'll soon face a test of your will. And as long as your will and purpose are aligned with spirits, you'll sail through it. So that goes right along with, you know, you have everything right inside of you. You're much, much stronger than you give yourself credit for. And you deserve a lot better than you allow yourself to accept.
I just don't know how. I mean, I hear that I'm stronger, and I believe that I am, but I just, it's like when I hear you can reach in front of you, it's right there, and it just is like, well, then give it to me, because I'm so tired of the struggle that I have, and I don't know what to do.
Okay. Do you meditate at all?
I try. I listen to music instead of meditating. I listen to like heart chakra music. I listen to that instead of meditating.
Well, that's good, because when you're listening to the music, that is actually a form of meditation, because you let
okay.
yourself go.
Okay.
You're not focused on the task at hand. Even if you're doing something, your subconscious is still going to where it needs to go. I'm trying to think of an easy way. I want to sit down and make a list. Take time, quiet, put on some quiet music in the background, light a candle, burn some incense, whatever it is for you that makes sense, and make a list of all the positive changes you want in your life. And be specific. Don't just say, I want a better relationship. Be specific. I want a better job. No, I want this job. I want to be extremely detailed on every aspect of what you want.
Okay.
Then on another piece of paper, I want you to write down all the junk you want to get rid of in your life. If it's a feeling or whatever it is.
Okay, so.
And then we've got a full moon coming up. So after you make your list, if you can get out during the full moon, that's wonderful. If you can't, any moon is fine. But you go out in the moonlight and you concentrate on the lists that you made and you burn them and you release it to the universe and you truly have the feeling, you open yourself up to release all the bad and accept all the good. And it will make changes in your life. You're going to feel lighter. You're going to feel stronger. You're going to be more determined. I'm picking up a picture of a vase type object. Do you have a vase in your house that you bought at a yard sale or a used store, or somebody gave you that you're like, yeah, it's okay, but.
I have a couple of vases at my sister's. That's it. Oh, you know what? I have a cat vase for flowers that my prior neighbor gave to me, because I always complimented on it, and she gave it to me, and now instead of it in my window, I have it on a little table outside. And it's a vase. It's a cat. Other than that, I have a couple of blue vases that were
okay,
my sister's.
I was going to ask you, which one is blue?
I have a real deep royal blue, and then I have like a smoky, taupey blue. I mean, turquoise blue. Real tall, and then the dark, deep blue one is... what do you call it? Like a just a regular vase, you don't arrowed out big bottom.
Which one of the vases was? Which one of the vases did you buy somewhere or was given to you that you're not close with the person that you got it from?
I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue.
Maybe.
Are you thinking of my mom's urn?
Was your mom a negative person?
Here on Earth, she was extremely negative, and I have her ashes.
Okay.
In,
that is her. Is her urn bluish?
Yep, it's a small little urn.
Okay, that is so funny. Okay, that's what it is.
Angel,
do you have that in your house?
Yeah, it's a blue gray.
Okay, I was going to say like a country blue, but that is like a blue gray. Can you get some sea salt?
Yeah.
And
sea salt or Epsom salt?
Sea salt. And put her
right.
urn dish and surround it with sea salt.
Oh, it's gray. Is that it's a gray with black.
Okay, yeah, put the urn, surround the urn with sea salt.
Okay.
And while you're doing it, say, with the salt, I neutralize all negative energy.
But I thought when they cast her, not energy is not bad anymore. Okay. So
you know what, I'm going to tell you something. I had a reading done recently with somebody. This person does not know me, complete stranger, asked me about things that I have never put out on Facebook or anything, and one of the things that she asked me was, do you have a fireplace or a wood-burning stove in your house?
Mm-hmm.
If you've not been in my house, you don't know I have that because I've never, ever talked about it. And I said,
right.
I have a wood-burning stove. She felt very negative energy coming from the ashes in the wood-burning stove. The stove has not been used for over 10 years and is completely cleaned out. My mother's urn is sitting on top of the wood burner.
Okay.
My mother was a very negative person in life, and her ashes were emanating that negativity.
Okay.
So I had to neutralize her ashes, too.
Now, I have to share something very interesting. I mean, this is just all coming to me right now. My sister, who I ended up staying in her place because she was moving out of state, and she was there for me. So she was like, I'll take the urn because I know you don't want Mom. And I'm like, it's fine. I made peace with Mom. So I kept it. My sister's coming up and tomorrow. And she was very close with my mom, and I'm very hesitant because tomorrow's going to be a drinking day from the minute she gets here. And when that happens, she becomes really negative about how my mom loved me and would always talk about me, but I would never want to be a part of her. And that's weird. Does that make sense of where I'm trying to go with it?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So, and she's going to be staying with me tomorrow. So I get...
You know, if you
can
do the salt before she gets there, that'd be great. Or even
right,
just set
so,
out the intentions for now. Just focus on the urn and encase all the negative energy and release it into the universe. You are not accepting any of that negative energy. That negative energy is not going to affect you any longer.
Okay, so I'm going to go get sea salt, and I can buy that at Kroger's?
You can buy it anywhere. You can buy it at the dollar store.
Does it have to be pink sea salt or white pink salt? I mean sea salt.
It doesn't matter.
So I'm going to take, because her urn is only like, and I'm going to
uh-huh.
I'm going to put, do I put it in a cup of sea salt or just sprinkle it around like a track around it? And then I say, with the sea salt, I resolve all negative energy.
Yep, you can put it on like a plate and just sprinkle sea salt around it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say is with sea
just
salt.
Just neutralize the energy.
You know,
I neutralize all negative energy coming from this vessel.
I'm typing as you say that, okay?
That's fine.
I will answer this. All right, so then, oh, that's funny. It's interesting, especially since with her coming, and I was just getting concerned because she's coming in at 1, and she's going over all her friends' house, and all they do is drink, and it's just, Jody knows I bugged her about it. It's very hard for me to be around that, and whenever she does drink, it's always a negative against me about Mom, so.
And when she comes at you with that,
yeah.
Look at her, smile, and say, I'm sorry you feel that way. I still love you. I'm sorry you feel that way. I love you.
All right.
Put it back on her. Just surround her with love and light and positive energy. Neutralize her negativity, too.
Okay.
You don't need it. You're better than that.
I know. And that's where I get so frustrated, is that I love the fact that I know that I'm coming into more of my intuitions and my things. But I had this one lady who I met the other week, and last night she texted me. We were texting, and she says, "Remember when I told you I sensed you?" And I said, "Yeah." And she says, "Just before I got up off the couch, I had the most beautiful vision, and it was you and I. We had a wonderful life together, and then I woke." But she says, "I wasn't completely asleep." So I told her that's her inner spirit waking up again.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Because she's, you know. So, I mean, that I love that stuff, but it's just like, I've gotten told, it's right in front of you. And it's like, I don't know what the fuck to grab. You know, I'm flying. I don't know what to do. It's like, and they're like, I had this
one of those things
in.
You have to, like I said, write down exactly what it is that you want. You have to go inside yourself and find out what is going to make you happy, what you truly want, and you go for it. Don't hold yourself back. It's I can see
so
you
like
holding horse reins on yourself. You don't let yourself go.
You've got
a wall up, and you got to take that wall down.
I push people away. I just push
away
because I was excited about seeing them, and I feel like God gave me this beautiful gift of loving people and a strong heart and a big heart and a great smile and to make people happy. And so when I see people, I'm excited and I want to see them, and it just fucking pushes them away, whether it's man or woman. And it just is like, then I just go into a hermit shell because that's how I feel.
Well, what you need to do, Diane, is you have to remember you are a light. People come into our life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Every single person that you encounter has a lesson to teach you.
Mhm. And I've learned that.
And you have to remember that your lesson is to learn when these people try to dim your light to shine it brighter.
Okay.
When you are being a light out there and trying to be so kind and loving and helpful to people, and they try to dim your light, blind them with your light.
But that would be trying to help them more, you know?
No, you wish them love, health, prosperity, and a happy life. And you just shine your light on them and you go about your life. Not everybody's going to like us. We want everybody to, but they're just not for a reason. There's light workers that I don't like. It's just that our energies don't mesh. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with me. Our energy just doesn't mesh. You just wish them well. All you can do.
That's why I do feel like sometimes, too, I'm just has to be alone. I've been invited to go to dinner for Christmas, and it's just like, I just want to be alone. It's like, I want to just curl up, watch TV. I mean, my family's coming in on Saturday, Friday, I'll see them then, I'll see them again on Monday Eve, and it's just like, I'm excited because I am going to spend breakfast with an awesome friend, an incredible friend, but it's just like there's these times it's like I'm so excited, but people take my excitement as pushiness, and it's my excitement, and I push people away. So it's like, well, maybe I'm just meant to be alone in all aspects. And it's like, I love helping others. I love it. Brings me so much warmth and joy. And
none of us are meant to be alone all the time. But every single one of us do need alone time to recharge. And if you get that feeling that you need to be alone for a day or a week, because you need to work on yourself and recharge your energy, that's absolutely acceptable. And you can't hide who you are. God made you who you are for a reason, so you have to continue being who you are. And if other people take offense to it, that's on them.
Why do I feel the pain? Why do I feel the loss? Like, fuck,
because
I did it again. Excuse my French.
Lynn just sent a message and said you're an empath. That's why. And we empaths feel all energy around us. Everything. When you walk into a room, you pick up on the energy everywhere. Negative, positive,
yep.
No matter what it is. And you have to learn, which is very, very hard, to put up boundaries. You have to use protection when you go out. Do you surround yourself with the light and angels and things when you're encountering people?
If I know the situation is going to be hard, yeah. And, like, now that I'm back at this other position, I mean, at the other location, before I go into work, I always ask God to protect me and Archangel, you know, and keep me safe and don't allow any negative to come towards me. Circle me with love.
Okay,
so
every morning when you get up.
Okay.
When you wake up in the morning, you know the movie Wizard of Oz where Glinda the Good Witch comes down in the bubble?
Yep. Jody,
you surround yourself with a bubble like that of white light.
Okay.
And you ask for the white light to surround you and protect you and keep away all negative energy.
Ask for the white light to protect me and what? Keep away from
Keep away all negative energy. That's what the white light is for. The white light helps ward off all negative energy and keep your energy positive. And if you know that you're going to be encountering negative people and negative energies or going out shopping, anything, you surround yourself with mirrors facing outward. You picture yourself completely surrounded by mirrors facing outward, because then any negative energy that would normally come at you is going to hit that mirror and bounce back to the person that's throwing it out there.
Say, but I'm going to do that when my sister comes in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm making a list. I'm going to write down all the positive things I want change in my life and be descriptive, what type of a job I want, and then kind of in a relationship and everything.
Everything.
And then I'm going to write on the, my home and everything, and then I'm going to write a list and another piece of paper, and I'm going to say I want things that I don't want in my life. I want removed from my life.
Yes.
Can it be pain? I know that's probably pretty dumb to
absolutely.
Ask, but...
No, absolutely. Yes. Why couldn't you?
Because pain's part of learning, part of lessons.
But you don't need to have intense pain. What would you rather have, bumping your knuckle on a table or breaking your leg? I mean, there's different levels of pain that we learn from. We stub our toe, we learn not to do that again. We break our leg, that's a whole different pain. So you can write down to have the pain lessened.
Okay.
So that way you can still experience, but you're not being overwhelmed by it.
All right.
Okay.
And when is the full moon so I can burn them?
You can do it. The full moon is the best. New moons and full moons are the best, but intention is the most important thing. So even if you go out and it's a sliver moon and it's really cloudy and you can't see it, it's your intention.
Okay. So just burn it. Just say, I give this to you.
Yep.
The universe.
I release this to the universe. I no longer want, I give this to you. As I not eloquent when I do stuff like that, I go out and I burn my letters and say, I'm done with this. It's yours now. Deal with it.
No, I like
that. It served its purpose for me. I'm done with it. It's yours. Deal with it. And I let it go.
Now, well, what about the positive stuff then? So should I do two separate burning? Don't burn them together, correct?
You could burn them separately. Yeah, that would be fine. And with the negative, you just said, "This, I'm done. This, I don't want this anymore. It's yours. Deal with it." And with the positive, I am open and expect all these good changes in my life. Whatever resonates with you, however it feels the most powerful and the best with you, is what you say.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I know I took a lot of your guys' time up. I'm sorry.
That's okay, hon. You needed it.
You're fine.
What's that, Jody?
I said, you're just fine.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
That's right. We're
I'm
here to do what
to
we got to do to help people, so.
Oh, I love it. I mean, that is like just, oh, my God. I like shine. I just love when I can help someone. And then it's just so good. It just fills my
yep.
heart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I will shut up. Thank you, ladies. And Sue, if I don't talk to you, you have a beautiful Christmas. And Jody, I will see you Christmas morning, love bug.
Okay, honey.
Thank you very much.
And Diane, please keep us informed on what's going on with you, hon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Merry Christmas and love and light to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night, hon. Good night.
Good night.
Such a sweetheart.
She is. She's a very good lady.
Okay. Now, let's see. Where do we go from here? Area code 775. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Yes, please. My name is Wendy from Sacramento.
Hi, Wendy. How can we help you tonight?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm 67, and I was off work for 8 months because there was a rear-end collision in a yellow cab. And I'm still in chronic pain, but they gave me an ultimatum to return to work or else. So I returned to work November 1st. The deal was they were going to give me a two-month training class starting this Monday, but my boss told me Wednesday last week that they were not going to do that, which I, quite frankly, I think something is, they're not revealing everything to me. I think there's something more to that. So that did upset me. So they threw me on the phones in the medical insurance call center, and it's very intense. I have a lot of experience in vision, but this is very intense. And I felt like I was being ignored today, so I kind of fell apart, and the team lead called me and spoke to me, and she said that she needed time. And I said, I understand that. I said, I was unaware. I know that I thought maybe you were working on somebody else had gotten your attention. Anyway, that was in front of another supervisor, but I didn't say any bad words, but I was obviously frazzled and upset. And my boss is going to return Monday. I am so beat emotionally. I feel like asking for a stress leave, but I only have 5 weeks left in state disability, so I don't know how much that would help me, but bottom line, do you see me keeping my job for at least one more year?
Wow. Jody, do you want to go first, hon, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Please repeat your first name.
Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Wendy, you know, I don't think I'm going to tell you something you don't really already know. I think that you're probably going to leave sometime in the next 3 months. And I don't feel like, you know, you're going to really want to stay. I feel like things with you have been very difficult since you had this accident. You've really not felt your age until this accident is how it feels to me, that you felt very healthy and you're sort of recovering. But here's the benefit to you just going with what the universe brings forward. I feel like, and I don't necessarily know if it's actually going to work or if it's you doing something on your own, but I feel like something better comes in for you. So I want you to do your very best to roll with the punches. I know that there's some fear for you with it of being unemployed. I feel like you do not want to be on your own, not working, not being connected to people. And I don't know, are you single?
Yes. I've been divorced for quite a long time. And I'm 67, so I'm trying to work as long as I can to raise my Social Security amount.
Well, and that is the thing, is I feel like something actually better comes in. But you have all of this fear of age, like, what is it, sort of age, what is the word, you know, when people will
discriminate
age again. Yeah, thank you. I feel like you're concerned about age discrimination. I feel like you're worried that no one's going to appreciate what you bring to the table. But what I want to tell you is, either you get an offer for a better job that pays more that you actually want to be at for about 5 years. I get 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
Or you go and you do something as a consultant on your own. I just want to tell you that even though I feel that you're going to end up leaving, I do feel it's going to be on your terms. I feel it's going to be better for you. And what I would tell you is, roll with the punches. Go out right now and make your way, because I feel like they were looking for opportunities to thin the herd, if you will. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And what I'll tell you is, you're the one who's going to be laughing.
Ah.
Okay? In the end, you're the one who's going to be laughing. This is one of those things where they say, it was something that felt like you were going to fall apart, but you walked out shining like a star, right?
Yeah.
My mom always says this thing to me, and it's kind of gross, so forgive me. She says to me that everything I do, I can walk. It's like falling into a pile of poo, and I walk out smelling like a rose, and I feel like that's what happens with you. This is going to feel like you're living in a big ball of poo, but just roll with the punches.
Very well
you're
stated.
You're going to walk out smelling like a rose, honey. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they give you a hell of a package to go. I don't really know what it is, but whatever is coming, it felt very uncomfortable to be truthful with you. So I was feeling a big old brick on my chest, but let me tell you, the more I'm talking, the more I am getting that there's something so much better coming in for you. And the fact that you're single, I think that you feel like you've given up a little bit, but I do feel like someone comes in mid-year. And listen, it may not be a thing about, it may not be a thing about sex. Not that there wouldn't be, but it would be, not that there won't be sex. Let me just clarify that. There will be sex, okay? But that's not the highlight. The highlight is the companionship. It would be, do you want to travel?
I would love to travel.
Because there's travel with this, and I, you know, the highlight's going to be the companionship, the person finally being right. And I'm not talking Mr. Perfect. I'm just talking someone fantastic who comes in and throws you for a loop. He will be with his flaws like anybody would. But I just feel like you just have to roll with this and let God and the universe guide it for you, because something good's coming in. This is not going to be where things fall apart, okay? Not even a little bit. Your energy isn't 67. You feel so energetic to me. You feel so much more youthful, and I feel really good about what will be coming in for you. So don't get caught up in the fear, the concern, the no one's going to hire me, because you're telling yourself some scary untruths.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. So you see about 3 months the change will occur?
Yeah, I think March. Could be a little earlier, maybe in a new job by April-ish, because I don't see you staying here, and I don't see you wanting to stay. I think they're trying to make things hard on you. And how dare they after you've been there for so long?
Well, no. Actually, I started on July the 5th in 2017, and then I was off work for 8 months because of that rear-end cab accident, and they gave me the ultimatum to return to work, or, in their words, I could reapply. So I decided to come back, and are they going to ever fire me, or will I find something new first, and I'll be the one to say goodbye?
I feel like I don't think that they're going to have to fire you. I think they're just going to work at making things uncomfortable enough that you just want to go.
Yeah, trust me, I do. For my health, if no other reason. And
yeah, because they're stressful people. You know? It's just, and they're throwing you into the lion's den purposely. That's how I feel about it anyway.
I am very upset because it's a very intense corporate environment for medical insurance, and there are new systems and new procedures and policies that I've not been trained on. And I think my boss lied to me when he said that it was business need that I go on the phone. And I've been a complete wreck emotionally, tied up in knots, but I'm a very, very nice and polite, gentle person. And so I think when the time is appropriate, when my boss comes back next week, I'm going to speak to him, and I'm going to say, you know, I found out there's actually two training classes. So how is it that I wasn't put into one of them? And then I'm going to say, you said that it would be better for me to get the one-on-one training. Well, it's not one-on-one training. The team lead is extremely busy, has very little time for me. She doesn't have time to really teach me something other than just rattle off instructions. And also she says, well, look at your resources, and the resources don't really tell me much. So it's a very stressful situation. And to be honest with you, there's been a few times when I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I don't have a history of that, but especially at my age.
That's anxiety.
Yeah, you're right. That's the word, anxiety. And so if I speak to him nicely and in a professional manner next week, because he'll probably call a meeting with me, I'm going to let him know that the arrangement was that I was supposed to be going into this full training, and you said that there was one training class, but there's actually two. So I'm still confused as to why I was not put into one, and that I'm not getting one-on-one training. Nobody has the time to do that. And would that be suicide to me to do that, or would he
I do think they'll care. I think it makes a difference that you stand up for yourself, because if you do not, they're going to run you over.
And something I said when I got emotionally upset, I kind of put my head in my hands, and the girl across me was looking at me. She tried to calm me down, and she said, it's okay, Wendy, it's okay. But it doesn't look good to do that. And you know, I guess I'm human. And I'm smart enough not to say any bad words or say anything bad, but I did say I feel like I'm being ignored, and I wasn't aware that you were working. What she should have done was email me and say, I got your question, I'm working on it, give me a few minutes. That would have been smarter, I think. Because I've got somebody on the phone and there's high pressure with that. So will my boss be understanding, or will he be like an I don't care attitude?
No, I do feel he'll care. I think they're so, I get the feeling of they're going to wonder what took you so long to stand up for yourself. I don't get the feeling that they're trying to be nasty. I just feel like they're kind of wanting you to keep up and move on. And I just think that it's in your best interest to find a new job. I don't think he'll be angry. I think he'll be impressed, actually. And the truth of the matter is, this is corporate America, and they expect you to speak up for what you want. Because if you don't, nobody's going to take up for you. Nobody.
Right.
They don't care.
And,
they don't care that much.
Well,
I was proud
of myself because for the first time this morning, I actually took a few calls, and I did it very independently, and I know I sounded good on the phone. I may not have done it perfect, but I did it a lot better. And then there were a few very confusing calls, and there was a real long call, and I went up to Matt. He's very nice. I like him. And we were exchanging chats about the next step, about this complicated stuff. So I sent back and I said, okay, so I'm on standby then, meaning, okay, I'm not going to take another call or say goodbye to the doctor. I'm just waiting with you. And he said, yes. And then my team lead came back and she was kind of wondering why I was on this call so long. And I mentioned to her with a half smile that Matt and I were, that I was on standby with Matt, and that that was my understanding. And I actually talked to Matt very congenially later, and I let him know that my team lead was kind of wondering. And I said, I said, well, you know, you're aware. And he nodded yes. So I think he would stick up for me if it ever anybody
mm-hmm.
says anything.
And, I don't think anybody is against you. It's not that. Okay? I just feel like you've not been there, and they're bringing you in where they can fit you in. And they're not really, you know, going out of their way to make it easy. I don't think they're trying to make you miserable. But I don't think they're going to go out of their way to make it.
You really have a way with words. Very well put. And you know what? I didn't mention something to you. I came into work mm-hmm. early about 8 days ago, sitting quietly in my cubicle. Three ladies came in, and they started talking to me very rudely. And so I said a quiet prayer to God, and I said, thank you, God, for revealing this truth to me. I stood up, and one by one, they realized I was there, and they turned around, and they had an oh, my God look on their face. And all I said was, good morning, ladies. And, yes, I did hear everything, and I sat down. And this one lady came over, and she tried to put her arm around me, and she said, oh, we're just concerned about you. And I looked straight at her, and I said, no, ma'am, you're not, and you do not know my history. And furthermore, when I go on the phones, it would be between me and management. So I think I did not, and one of the ladies was a friend that I thought was a friend for over a year, and obviously she backstabbed me. So I did not mention that to my supervisor, so I have a feeling he and I are going to talk next week. You'll probably see, well, how's it going? And I'll be professional, and I'll let him know my continued employment is very important to me. But I will try to be unemotional and explain, you know, that I feel like my workplace became toxic because I felt like they were a den of wolves out to the kill against me. And I feel mm-hmm. like that was very inappropriate. It would bother me to treat somebody like that. And I will say that I really wish that I could be transferred to Peggy's team because I think it'd be a better fit. And
I think if that's what you want, you should ask.
Well, do you think he'll just say, shine it off and say, oh, no, can't do that? Or will he try to do that for me?
I'm not sure. He might want you to stick it out there. And the truth of the matter, what I'm hearing is it doesn't matter where you go because you're learning new lessons with this. You've only been there since July, right?
July of last year.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
So what
but
I'm feeling
But 8 months I was gone.
Yeah. What I'm feeling is you just have to go in and put in your time and make sure he knows you want the training and don't worry about any of these other people. You understand that the energy you put out has to be energy that works for you. What they're doing, they have to deal with. Okay, behaving in that way is not appropriate. The feeling I get about this lady that you felt was your friend, I would be careful about what you say to her, but I also get the feeling that she doesn't quite know how to behave when they're talking to her about that. So she sort of tends to go with the crowd. Okay.
Well, I think she betrayed me, and I've not spoken to her since, so I feel like I lost her friend.
She absolutely did. But I also get that feeling
that...
She
should feel bad.
I feel like
you don't know me,
does.
But I'm an extremely kind, gentle spirit, but I'm a strong spirit, and I have so much compassion for people, and it's a lesson in trust for me. That's what it is. So what is the lesson that I'm learning at this work experience?
To let this stuff go, to stay focused, to not worry about the other people and the little things, and only be worried about you, and to own your space. Because I'm getting this whole feeling of you speaking up and saying, look, this is inappropriate. I should be getting the training. And, you know, if you're feeling, I get the feeling that you feel like there is some ageism going on. There's some discrimination there. I would be pushing him about it. You know?
There could be.
I do feel like if you stand up for yourself and you say, look, this is what I want, you do it in a professional way, and you don't back down, that it will be seen as a good thing. And personally,
well,
I feel it's okay to put your head down and say, oh, my Lord, I just need a moment to regroup. That's not for anyone else to say to you anything about your body language.
Will my boss, his name is Clay, will he concede to put me in the next training class? Because it's been an ordeal.
I do feel like he wants to and will, but you're going to have to fight him for it. You're going to have to ask him for it. And I don't understand why, because it should be a no-brainer. If he won't, I think you need to ask for an explanation of why he's refusing. Because I feel like it's important to say to him, you're setting me up for failure if you don't put me through the training. Why is that?
Yeah, and also what usually happens is people go through a 2-month training class and then they go on the phone. So their training is very recent. With me, I was in a training class. It was interrupted by the accident, and it's been over 8, now it's over 9 months. So there's a difference between going on the phone right after training versus 8 months later. And as I've mentioned, I've missed critical training in computer and policies and procedures. And it's enormous stress for me.
What you need to do is document it and let them know. This is a CYA situation.
I'm documenting.
Right, covering your own ass. And this is the thing. This is way overthinking the whole situation. You go in, you ask for the training. If they won't give it to you, ask him why. And I would flat out right say, do you want me to not be here? Because I'm not getting the feeling of you wanting to provide what I need, okay?
Yeah. And I clearly told him in an email that I need structured training to be successful. I think I have a copy of that email I sent to him, and I think I put it as part of my ADA request. I am almost tempted to ask for a stress leave. There's only about 5 weeks left of my state of California time left in that, so it'd be very brief. But I don't know, should I ask for that or just really communicate to my boss.
I think you need to speak with him first. I think you need to talk to him about it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Talk to him about the situation. If he does, if he refuses to bend, then ask for the stress leave and use that time wisely. And by that, what I mean is, I would be looking for another position.
I have a telephone appointment with my primary care doctor at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and so that'll be after I speak to my boss. So maybe it's divine timing, and that
there
was when I was going to ask for the stress leave.
Okay. Well, here's my one thing for you. I don't know why I feel it, but I do feel if you go on stress leave, it might be part of ending your employment there. So be prepared for that if you ask for a stress leave. I'm not sure why I picked that up, but I want to be truthful with you about it.
Well, thank
you
for telling me. Then I will not ask for the stress leave. But what about asking for intermittent leave? Like if I need to have a doctor appointment or something like that, would that be okay?
Absolutely. And I think that they need to give you time to go to the doctor and take care of things, especially if you've been having issues. Okay. But I would ask him point blank, has there been an issue? Because I heard this conversation between people discussing my performance, which I personally think wasn't appropriate. And I think you need to let him know that and let him know that you also feel it's inappropriate. They were discussing your performance and let him know what you heard. And then ask why they are not treating you properly. Is it because they feel that you're not performing up to par? Because if they have an issue with you, you shouldn't have been hearing it from there. This is very, very touchy. It's very touchy ground, okay? But I do feel you need to approach it without anger and on a very professional level. Because I think he'll be honest with you and talk with you about it in a fair way. But you need to approach him without anger and say, listen, is there an issue?
I agree.
That sounds wise.
And so I'm going to take your advice. I will not ask for a stress leave. That would probably be the last straw that broke the camel's back.
Exactly,
but I will ask for intermittent leave related to my back injury because they interrupted my recovery, my therapy and everything else. And so, but I won't say it that way to
him. Right. Okay. Well,
I apologize, but we
do need to go on to our last caller for the evening. But I hope that the information I've given you has been helpful.
It's very therapeutic. Thank you. So I think what you're telling me is don't ask for the stress leave because that would be it. But if I do not ask for a stress leave and ask for an intermittent leave for, like, doctor appointments, then I'll keep my job and that I'll be the one to say goodbye. They will not terminate me, correct?
That's what I feel, yes.
And so there is a place where I applied. It's called United Health Group. Will it be them or would it be somebody else?
I do feel good about them.
Okay.
I do feel good about
that. All
them.
Right. And
okay.
And when do you see me starting my Social Security? I'm 67 now. Will it be in 2019 or 20? What do you think?
Again, I feel like you're too busy and active to want to not work. I think you're going to probably 3 to 5 years.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, I'll max out at age 70 anyway. So
yeah.
But I'll
so
manage.
That's perfect.
So I'll manage to keep employed until age 70 then?
I think so, yes.
Okay. So I will play my cards right, and God bless you for telling me everything you're telling me. I like, you know, to hear the truth. And
I
am such a good person.
Yes, you
I deserve
are.
Better
I know
from
sometimes,
my work.
Yes, you do. And sometimes I know it can be a little brutally honest, but it's the most important thing we can do. So,
Anyway,
thank you so much for calling in tonight.
All right.
Yes,
well,
thank
I hope I start to train.
Wendy, please
month.
Call
thank
us back
you.
And let us know how it goes for you, hon.
Yeah,
God
we would love
you
to
both.
Hear.
Thank you.
Okay, Merry
You're
Christmas.
You're welcome, honey.
Evening.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Bye. Okay, now we will go on to our next caller. Area code 856 on the air with Sue and Jody. Can I get your name, please?
Hi, this is Laura in New Jersey.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How can we help you tonight?
Oh, so I was wondering, okay, I started a job, and it's a contract. I would like to know what you see for me this year about possibly making a move into my own home.
You know, what was your first name again, honey?
Laura.
Laura, okay. Laura, do you have children?
No, everybody asks me that. I always wanted children, but I never met the guy I wanted to get married to. So yeah, but everybody asks me that. It's like, and then they'll
say, "You have that wonderful energy
around you." Yeah, they say we see children around you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what I want to say to you is, I do feel like you would be moving, but I feel it's a little bit later. It's going to probably be September-ish. I don't feel it until after summer, and I don't think that you'll be ready until then anyway.
Oh, do you think it's going to be around water? Because that's really what I want, around water, around water, actually.
If you don't just jump, you have to take your time and look for the right thing, and you have to be patient, because I don't think it's financially feasible for you to be around water, right?
Well, I'm going to do it.
Okay, because I'm getting that you can. Yeah, I'm getting that it can happen if you're willing to make a few concessions/sacrifices, okay? So, yeah, I think you could be by the water, but I think you're going to be in quite a fixer-upper, because I don't think you're quite ready financially for what you really want to move into if you're going to be on the water. Otherwise, you're going to end up in something that's not near the water, but less fixer-upper, okay? But I think you're up to the challenge, and I think you can handle that.
Well, there's a home that is on the water that's kind of ugly looking, and the owners have to do something to the inside before they can sell it, because nobody will buy it the way it is. And I was hoping you could tell me whether or not you think it might be this house, so that by the time they get it ready, do you think it would take that long into September of next year, or do you think it might not be this one? Because it's brown on the outside. It's like real square, like a box.
Yeah, no, I don't feel like that's for you. Okay, so this is the concession. You could take the brown square ugly house, but you're not going to like it. You're already saying it's ugly.
Well, only on the outside. On the inside. It's the outside around. It's the location of where it's at that's perfect. And I said to myself, you know, somewhere down the road, I could do something to make it nicer. Somewhere down the road. But wouldn't that be my fixer-upper if I got that particular home? Because I'm never going to be able to afford a really outstanding, gorgeous home. I know that. But I want the location on the water. That's the most important thing to me.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're already calling it ugly. If you wait, the right thing will come. And I feel like it may not be this house. I don't feel the energy with this house. But let me just tell you, because you want to move right away, but I don't feel pieces are lined up yet, honey.
I know I can't move it right away. I'm not ready.
Well,
I'm just hoping.
Exactly. this house is going to be ready by March or April to go. You are not. And if you just hold your horses, okay, don't get ahead of yourself. Something better, something prettier is coming in. And what I'm seeing is something that has some sort of an arch, I don't know if it's in a doorway, but I see some sort of an arch and I see a light yellow. It's going to be a little bit smaller. It's going to have almost an English cottage feel to me. And I do see water with that. So, but you, listen, don't rush. Okay? Okay. It's okay to have a fixer-upper. And I think you're up for the challenge. But again, if you wait, something really good is going to come in for you. Okay, honey?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas. Keep your chin up about this because let me tell you, if you're willing to wait, it is going to be a heck of a house. Just hold your horses. Okay, trust me when I tell you this. It's better to wait for the right thing than to jump on the wrong one.
But is it local or is it going to be somewhere far out of state?
I'm not sure. I don't get that. I just know the house is coming.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. By the way, I don't feel like you move very far.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Okay.
Maybe
I don't feel like you move very far.
I have a neighborhood already staked out where they have a lot of little lakes, so that's why I was. So that's good. That must be where I want it to be then.
Yeah, and you're going to be happy.
If I get that home, I will be. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the reading. Bye.
Thank you, Laura. Merry Christmas, honey.
Me too.
Yep, bye-bye.
Okay, I think we got about 5 minutes left. We can squeeze in one more caller. Area code 313, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Me?
Sure. Who is this? Who's me?
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. It's Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
How can we help again?
So I've been told I was intuitive and empathic. And I've been meditating, and I'm just wondering if Spirit has a message for me, if I'm doing it right, if I'm not doing it right, like kind of when my abilities are going to come through so I can look at someone and go, oh, they're full of crap. They're not a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you want to go first, Sue?
Uh-oh.
Are you anything right offhand, Jody?
Yeah, I'm feeling like you're, you know, there's a little bit of this. You want it to be like magic. You think it's almost like you think this is going to be like magic, but it's already right there. There is, it's not like I'm getting that, you know, people think that all of a sudden it's totally different. It's exactly like you are right now. You already have this gift. It's just trusting it and knowing it's there. Now, I feel a little like you're waiting for something magical to happen. But really, the magic's already in you. And part of it, you have such a sweet heart. I feel this really sweet, light, warm, loving energy with you. You're welcome. But the one thing I'm feeling is you don't trust what you get.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be the way that you, it's like you think it's gonna be one way, but it's not gonna be that way. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It's like when you look at blue and you expect it, like if I said to you what color is blue of the sky, and you might say it's one color and Sue might say it's a different color, and then I'd say it's a third color. We all have different experiences of what our psychic reality is, if that makes sense. And I feel like you're expecting it to be something different than it is. But, girl, I am here, and you've already got this. It's right in you, and it's in your heart. And you're hearing it. you just got to sort of trust it. Do you feel this, Sue? Am I off base?
No, I completely agree. I think what it is, Jennifer, is you're trying too hard.
Duh.
And when we
yeah.
try too hard, we block ourselves.
Okay.
You just have to relax and let it come naturally. And I was doing the same thing. And the harder I would try, the less I would get. So I just finally listened to a very intelligent woman, and when she was telling me how much I was trying too hard and I just need to let it flow, and when I don't concentrate on it is when the messages come through like a water faucet being opened.
Okay.
So just relax. And like Jody said, you've already got it. It's there. You just don't try so hard, and it will come through loud and clear. And trust what you get. We all go through phases where we doubt what we get, but the more you trust, the more you will get.
Okay, I get you.
And I'm kind of feeling, too, like you need a mentor. Someone to say, yes, you're getting it this way. And also, I don't feel like you have quite figured out what your gifts are. And so you're going, okay, I know I kind of get information, but how am I getting it? What exactly am I getting?
Exactly. You're nailing it right there.
There's total confusion. And the thing is, you know, so I went through an experience with a mentor who helped me to meet my spirit guide, Yeshua, and Yeshua was able to help me figure out, well, he didn't really help me figure out anything. What he did is said, I'm going to use all of your senses. Now, not everybody gets that experience. Sometimes it's that, you know, they'll say you're going to have precognition, or you're going to dream, or you're going to, you know, you're just going to know stuff. For me, I hear words, and especially for me, I hear words when the messages are for me, not so much for other people. But, you know, taking a step back and just saying, okay, when this happens is when it happens, that's what's going to help you recognize when your gifts have kind of stepped up in a situation. But asking, you know, talking to your spirit guide is like a conversation with anyone else. When I work with my students, I tell them, talk to spirit as though they're in front of you, like they're one of your best friends, because truly, honestly, they are. And ask them the questions you want to know. Meditation is, it's a lot of things. It's a way to be quiet, okay? But it's also time for conversation. And so the best thing you can do is pull a card and ask, how does this message apply to me today? And listen and be quiet and see, do you get touched? Do you have an emotion? Do you see color? Do you hear a word? How are you getting it? And then writing it down. And one of the things I also tell my students is to have a validation notebook. You put a line right down the middle. And for most people, they get validation after they get the message. And that is part of what they should be using to recognize how they get information. So for instance, for me, like I said, I will get messages when I'm not doing readings, I hear words. So I was going to go out. I went out kayaking with my girlfriends. I came home, decided not to put the kayak away because I was really, really tired and my arms were achy. And I heard, you're going to get spiders. And I heard it with attitude, just, you are going to get spiders. And I thought, why would I think that? Okay, why would I think that? I was just on the lake for an hour or three, right? Why would I get spiders? It was all washed off in the water. Well, I will tell you, 4 days later, my truck was filled with spiders. And I mean the inside of the cab. The inside of the cab, because my back seat goes down, and that's the only way I could get my kayak in with closing the tailgate. So here's the thing, right? For most people, they're not going to recognize when they have that thought. But when they realize later that they had the thought and they get that validation, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go back and I want you to write down, I got spiders in my truck, and I want you to write down the date that it happened, and I want you to write the story of what happened. And then on the right side, I want you to go in there, and I want you to write down. And you know what? You're not going to know the date. You're going to know it happened 3 or 4 days ago or 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I had a feeling that Mary was pregnant. Today, she told me she's pregnant. How did I get it? I got it as a feeling. Or maybe your guides were, you know, working with you because you looked at them and saw this pink glow around and went, oh, my God, she's going to have a daughter. She's going to have a baby. She's pregnant. Okay? Maybe that's how they start to connect with you. But it's figuring out how that is happening. Okay? And so talking to your guides, asking them, how are you going to work with my senses so that I know you're connecting with me? There's a whole lot of ways that they do this. And what I want you to do is start that notebook and pay attention and listen and talk to your guides, because the more you talk to them, the more they will talk to you. It's like a friend. You can love a friend dearly, but, you know, if you don't reach out and start the conversation, you might never hear from them, right? People get busy, and if you're not thinking about them, then they might not be thinking about you. So talk to your guides. They got a lot of work to do. They got a lot of people they're assigned to. And the more time you take up with them, they're going to give it to you, right? So talk to them. Ask them, what are my gifts? How should I be using them? How are you going to connect with me? And start paying attention to how you get information and write it down. It's really important.
Okay.
So meditation isn't just being quiet. It's so much more than that. Okay.
Yeah. I'm dying. It's like, what else can I do? What do I have? I'm waiting and not just sitting here waiting. I do meditate. It's hard.
Unfortunately what we do is we want to compare ourselves to everyone else. And we want to feel like we could, you know, like it's going to be bigger than life, that it's going to be like, you know, what was that show, Touched by an Angel? And the angel's going to appear in front of us and tell us what we need to know. It don't work like that. Sometimes it's like a crossword puzzle, and it's hard to figure out.
Right? I getcha. Yeah.
But if you just take a seat back and you're quiet and you ask, I can't tell you the number of times I've asked and I got an answer. And I was surprised, because I really wasn't sure they were going to answer, and then they did. They're always going to answer. It's just going to be, you know, in a way that they think they can connect with us with. Another thing is you want to definitely raise your vibration, however that is. If that is watching funny movies, if that's laughing, if it's singing, if it's dancing, do the things that make you happy. And be very aware that you're going to have to expand your energy a little bit if you're trying to connect, so that, because they have to lower their vibration, we have to raise ours a little.
Okay.
I hope those things make sense for you.
No, make total sense. Yes.
Okay, great. I'm so happy.
Jennifer, what position are you in?
I'm married. I'm divorced from a narcissistic jerk, and I married a really great guy.
What area of Michigan are you in?
I'm in Taylor, Wayne County.
In Taylor? Okay. Well, that's funny. I was just looking at a house in Taylor. I want you to look me up on Facebook, Sue Fields Del Amante, and I am willing to work with you and help you any way that I can.
Really?
And I will be moving back to Michigan hopefully before the springtime. And we will be able to get together and work in person if you like that idea.
Oh, my God. I would love that. I would love it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
What was your name again?
Sue Fields Del Amante.
Oh, my gosh. I'll never know how to spell that.
D-A-L-I-M-O-N-T-E.
Okay. Thank you so much. That just made my day.
Well, I'm glad I could. We are out of time, hon, so I hope that message has helped you.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Please do look me up. And like I said, I'm more than willing to work with you and help you out.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. Thank both of you. I appreciate
Thank you, honey. You have a wonderful evening and a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you guys too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, honey.
Bye-bye.
Well, that time went by like lickety-split.
Yes, it sure did. It was a fast hour and a half.
Yeah, it was. Just real quick, even though we're off the air, we're still recording if anybody comes back and listens. Lynn could not be with us tonight, but you can reach her, Lynn Bleasdale, on Facebook or lbleasdale.wixsite.com/Lynn. I am Sue Fields Delamonte and on Facebook. And you can also reach me at lbleasdale.wixsite.com/SueF. And Jody Higgins is on Facebook. It's Jody with a Y. And you can reach her at her website, connectedbyspirit.com. And we would like to thank everyone for calling in tonight and wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And 917, I'm really sorry that we were unable to get to you tonight, but please call in next week, and I will try to get your call in at the beginning of the show. Jody, do you have any parting words you'd like to share, hon?
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, everyone, and God bless. Good night.
God bless. Good night.